Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. Hi, I'm Deanna Smith, and I am here sitting across from Paul Laska, and I cannot wait to hear all about his journey to where he's been so accomplished and so successful as an entrepreneur. Hi, Paul.
Thank you. Hi, Deanna, how are you?
I'm good. It's a day after election, and things have been wonderful. Many things have gone in our favor, and so I'm great. How about you?
It's a good evening, yeah. Same. Really surprised and happy, so yeah. Good to be here with you today.
Thank you.
Beautiful day out here.
Well, yes, we pay that extra sunshine tax so we can
Wind is crazy today, though, so really windy day.
Santa Ana's, yeah. Not a fan of Santa Ana's. They make me a little bit worried about fire.
Yeah.
And if you've grown up in California, you've seen some serious fires come through here. So not a fan of the wind, but love the sunshine.
Yeah, we sweat the fire in Ramona, for sure. Yeah, we've seen them come through.
Terrible things. I feel like a lot of our Cal Fires and our local fire stations have done a lot for preventative measurements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so making sure that we really get ahead of those things. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Yeah, when it burned 2,000 homes in like 07 or something like that, right? I mean, that's a big loss. And I think they're doing everything they can to avoid having that happen again. So hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Hopefully not. But you are in the GIS world, and so you have the ability to do a lot of that stuff and help with fire safety and brush and things. Tell me about that.
Yeah, our experience with fire safety has been mainly through San Diego Gas and Electric, who has been done a great job leading the way. California showing the other utilities what it looks like to, you know, really be active in fire risk mitigation and things like that. So, yeah, we help provide safety personnel for them there, and we have a vegetation management division as well. So they're making sure the vegetation is cut properly and maintained properly to stay away from the power lines. So, they're going so far as to underground all of the overhead utilities.
Well, that'll be very preventative.
That's a 30-year, 40-year contract. I mean, that's huge.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you. I mean, we didn't win all down. They'd love to probably get some of it, but it's enough work for everyone to go around on that one. So
that's good. How did you get into it?
Yeah, that's a good question, really. Land surveyor is what I am, and that's what I started. I was actually an artillery surveyor in the Marine Corps. So
wow.
I didn't grow up wanting to be a surveyor. I didn't really know a lot about what they did.
What does that mean? I mean, what did you actually do?
We're really good at efficient means of killing one another.
And
so part of that is artillery in the Marine Corps. The idea is to have the first round on target. Mm-hmm. You want the element of surprise. So a lot of data has going into firing an artillery round. You know, you can lob that thing tens of miles and you want it to be on target. So, you know, surveyors are needed for precise elevations and azimuths and directions. And, you know, they corrected for temperature of the powder and rotation of the earth. And so it was a really precise science, but that's where I learned how to survey, was in the Marine Corps.
Wow, what an incredible thing to learn. I mean, nobody ever thinks about tanks when they watch TV shows, that you just think that this big hunk of metal on these tracks is pointing the biggest gun you've ever seen in a direction. Mm-hmm. And nobody thinks about all of the stuff that it takes to get that tank in that position.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of logistics go into play there for sure. So
you learned all kinds of technology, surveying, and what was the other thing? You said something about rotation of the earth.
Yeah.
All of that is taken into consideration for you.
Yeah, really. So, yeah, wow. So a lot of fun and an eye-opening. So, and you mentioned technology. It's funny. I own a tech company, but I've never really thought of myself as techie. I used to be at one point when I was a one-man band and I was operating all the GPS and doing things that I needed to do, but it's kind of funny. Amongst my peer group, other CEOs, I don't have a college degree. I'm not very techie at all. So, you know, I've never been on Twitter or Facebook. I just don't do any of that stuff. I'm not very social either.
Yeah.
I think I've always just, I grew up in the South, pretty competitive part of the South, football. And, you know, I say I don't have a college degree, but I'll put my Southern education up against anybody's. We had good teachers that cared about the pupils. We had a good culture, good society that, you know, parents were involved. So I grew up there and had good role models, even though my parents were divorced. So started getting in trouble a little bit in high school, and life wasn't challenging enough. So I ended up joining the Marine Corps at age 20. Learned most of the things that I learned, you know, in the Marine Corps, I think, apply to business. I think many of the things that I learned there directly responsible for some of the results in my life later, you know,
sure.
No doubt.
Discipline in itself. It sounds like if you were getting in trouble as a youngster and mm-hmm. you learned discipline and, mm-hmm. and then you learned surveying and technology, mm-hmm. all of those mm-hmm. roll into a higher education that mm-hmm. no one can mm-hmm. compare to college.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in a textbook that they can tell you what to do with the tank.
Sure.
In, you know, as the Earth is rotating.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, I think the biggest stock you get from something like that as a young person in the military is the maturity level. I mm-hmm. mean, military is one of the few places you'll see a 23-year-old gunnery sergeant commanding, you know, 80, 90, 100 people and hundreds of millions of dollars in equipment and technology. So, I mean, really learn young, you know. And Marines was good for me. I enjoyed it. One of the best things I ever did, you know. Taught me that failure is not an option. I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I took from the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely part of my mindset in any task that I undertake, you know, we're not going to fail. If we do, we'll pivot and we'll figure out a new way to do it. So,
yeah, that sounds like a true entrepreneur for sure.
So in amongst my peer group, I don't have a college degree. I'm a little bit unique in that. The many employees as we have and companies that I own, you know, generally most of the folks around me are educated fairly well. But I think I've always been a believer. I'm a Christian, and I've always sought wisdom from the Lord. And I think wisdom beats PhDs, it beats educations, you know, it you know, it's to be desired better than any knowledge. So, you know, that God's always helped me. Mm-hmm. I see people well. I think,
amen.
You know, so
you bet. I agree. You don't have to have a college degree to be successful.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're living proof.
Right.
Yeah. How long were you in the military?
Just 4 years.
Yeah. Wow.
87 to almost 1992. Right. Through Desert Storm.
That's a lot of wisdom for just compacted in 4 years. I thought you were going to tell me, 20 years, I've retired from there. But, yeah.
Once a Marine, always a Marine. Right?
Of course.
Yeah. Enjoyed it there, though.
That's good.
Really had some challenges. I mean, when you're that young and you learn, you know, to push through, don't give up, you know, things that can help you later in life. So.
Right. So you have experience in military, and then you opened a company. Your current company, is this the first one right out of the military, or did you do things along the line?
Did things along the way. I started the first company in 02. It was called Pawlowska Land Surveying. and for about a decade, it was just me and another guy. Kind of like to say I pushed a rock up a hill for a decade, which is what you're going to do in mm-hmm. any company. In order to succeed, you're going to overcome some challenges. You're going to have some things you have to really learn to do. So,
what was the hardest lesson that, looking back, what was the hardest lesson that you finally learned? Because as entrepreneurs, we want to do it our way, and we have this vision, mm-hmm. and we keep doing it and keep doing it, and sometimes we're not succeeding. And I believe that there's so much value in failure if you can recognize it and make things better. What was your biggest challenge that you overcame that you would share with anyone?
Well, I think, you know, the whole COVID was unique, and just business climate in general, you know, is constantly, you have to improvise and adapt and try to figure out a way to get over it. I would say be wary of partners, business partners. I've been fortunate, but I do know that generally, you know, two people that type A that join in business together, more often than not, it doesn't end well. And I think there's a reason for that. So, I mean, you ask me, and just personally, that would be my, I might be a little slower to embrace partners and people and just rely on my own self a little bit, mm-hmm. which, you know, wouldn't have got it done if I had to do it myself. So.
Sure. Well, we definitely need to build our team because we cannot do everything all on our own.
Right.
And just the faith that you have to put into somebody else to believe that they're going to do the job as good as yourself, if not better, is what you really want. And I guess that discerning factor is critical.
Huge, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I think that we say we do the best is we hire for character. We try to see character first. I mean, none of the things we do are rocket science in the world, right? I mean, if you got folks that show up on time, don't have a drinking problem, you know, good folks that come from a good upbringing, you can get things done. And so I think that's what one of my strong points is I see people, you know, I'm not operations guy more. I think I'm a people person more than mm-hmm. anything. And I've had some good mentors along the way. Mike Wunderland was an excellent mentor, no doubt about it.
Sure.
Taught me a lot. I worked for another man named Frank Dudek. And I remember Frank told me. So they had been recruiting me at Dudek for about a year. This was in 2001. I'd been with Mike Wunderland for a decade, and they'd been headhunting me, and they finally hired me, and Frank told me that the guy that hired me, that worked for him, told him that, gosh, Frank, we're going to hire this guy, and he's got a reputation for being up and coming. He could take my job, you know. I was in civil engineering school at the time and really working hard, and Frank told me, he told him, he said, A people hire A managers. A managers hire A people, and B's hire C's. So he said, that was a lesson I learned that I'll never forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how companies, you know, can sometimes suffer as a whole. If you've got a B leader or a C leader, they're oftentimes will hire someone not threatening to them, which is even below them in value. But he said, A managers hire A people, and they, you know, the company gets better. So that was a good lesson to remember.
Yeah, that's so true. Oftentimes we just can't get out of our own way, and mm-hmm. it's a hindrance for growth in mm-hmm. general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be willing to adapt and change, right? What mm-hmm. got you here won't get you there, and I know that. So we're going through some changes now. We're just growing and inevitably some of the things that we didn't know we're learning along the way, but we do know that we're gonna have to make some changes to get to that next level. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that whole changing, we get so comfortable in things as they're being successful, and then we get to a level. Oh, okay, this feels good. Mm-hmm. The worst part is just to stop, and you're just stuck in this. Not necessarily stuck, but maybe you just get too comfortable.
Sure.
And you stay where you are.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep challenging yourself? What tells you, get off that couch or stop mm-hmm. doing this and keep going? What does that voice tell you?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think that's real simple, too. It's there's one non-negotiable in my life, and it's kind of fitness. You know, if I'm going to give up something, that's usually not that. You know, that's, again, it's a non-negotiable. And I think if you force yourself to, you know, if you're on a 10-mile run at 4 in the morning, doing things that people won't do normally, I think, you know, that's some of the habits that I've met in some other entrepreneurs as well. They tend to embrace, you know, struggling to overcome it, and they want to, you know, take that on to get through it and don't run from it. So, I don't know, I think it's a double-edged sword too, though, Deanna.
Oh yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Tell me why you think that's a double-edged sword.
Well, I mean, it's okay to be driven and accomplished in life, but sometimes your loved ones around you don't take that so well, and it doesn't always make for the best, you know, partner, you know.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurs have a little bit of a this level of obsession, and it drives us when we want to learn something or we want to accomplish things, or we just keep going and we forget. We need to have this thing that's called life balance and include some peace time or downtime.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not our strong point.
When it's really
in my 20s and 30s, right? Gosh.
So. Yeah. I agree. I often have challenges with that. In fact, my one of my sons asked me out of the blue, he said, "Mom, when are you going to stop working so hard?" And I said, "Well, first of all, I don't think I'm working hard." And he's like, "You just make me tired just watching you."
Yeah.
And I said, "I don't know, son. I don't think that it's in my DNA."
Yeah, you've got a lot of energy. That's important, too. Yeah. You've got a lot of energy. You got to move. You got to do something with it, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but what he was really asking me was, when are you going to slow down for us? Mm. And that's when I was like, oh, man. Here, and he was like 16 at the time. 16-year-old boys don't care about anything except for the obvious things that 16-year-old boys care about. And for him to stop me in my tracks to say something like that, I realized, wow.
I wanted his mom.
Yeah. I'm not doing my job because I'm so busy doing my job.
Yeah, I hear you. Always having to win, you know, is it gets to be a burden in life too, right? It's like, good gosh. Yeah. You know, I think my oldest son was nominated for the Naval Academy, and he was an athlete, but he wasn't a runner. And so he said, "Dad, they run there. I got to run. I got to start running. We're going to do long distance together." So I said, "Okay, I'll run with you." And I wasn't a runner, and so when he said, "Dad, I want to go to the Naval Academy and I want to run long distances," I said, "Okay, let's train together." So we ended up doing a marathon together. But in the process, I learned that at 45 years old and 240 pounds that I'm not going to compete at this. And it was difficult because I wanted to win. I always kind of wanted to compete. And I knew right off the bat, there's 120-pound, 22-year-olds that are just really turning 5-minute, 6-minute miles. I'm never, ever going to compete at this sport. And you know what? It set me free. It was weird. It was really weird. I could run slow and not have to win. I could get beat by this girl with a prosthetic leg. I never could catch her. It was a half marathon. I still remember the cadence of that prosthetic hitting the ground. It had a different sound, but I determined to catch her and couldn't. But it was great not to have to win at that, you know, and that was a relief to just be able to just enjoy.
Yeah, and not be so hard on yourself anymore.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's got to be such a relief and so much freedom in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Entrepreneurs are so hard on ourselves, and we hold ourselves to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. One thing that I also realize is that this was also a moment for me that I was like, oh, okay. We work really hard and we have this ambition and curiosity of life. Mm-hmm. And we do things and we're usually perfectionists. Not everybody is like that.
Right.
Very few people are like that.
Right.
Have you ever had an experience where you're like, okay, I am me and I have to stop expecting everybody to be like me, mm-hmm. because that's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's part of the journey, right? It's part of learning how not to rub everyone the wrong way with your goals and your dreams and stuff. So
yeah, our obsessions.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yes. So that was a moment in my time where, like, oh, okay, I can just put that to rest because they're going to do their own thing, mm-hmm. their own way, mm-hmm. and I'm going to still be me, but I'm not going to impose all my expectations. Mm. On these people,
mm-hmm.
but I will find other people like me, mm-hmm. so that we can get things done.
Sure.
You know, there are other people out there who like, I think you were mentioning somebody that was working with you that did a great job as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my first employee, his name was Randy. I used to say he was, I had a quote from Lonesome Dove that I said applied to Randy, cheerful in all weathers, never shirked a task, he had splendid behavior, always there on time, so he was a good example. And he was a believer, too.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys probably never made more than $35 an hour, but he was independently wealthy. I mean, yeah. Just had made good decisions, had wisdom, you know, all his life, and then bought rental properties and stuff like that. So good example for me.
Yes.
And my mom used to say, you think you have problems, start helping other people. So I think if you have a sincere desire to help people, you know, and to do charitable things and to put money into that, it takes energy into that too, but it's very rewarding, right? Very, very rewarding.
100%. Yeah. There are so many things that we could be grateful for and so many things that we could see true value in. Mm-hmm. And I hope that other people, actually, I don't hope, I'm sure they learned from your examples and they see you as a very strong leader and somebody who is amazing at what they do and very successful. And leading by example is one of the most important things that I feel that we can do in general.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, agree. It's one of our core values, right? Yeah. Lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll never have a hardworking team if you have a lazy boss.
True.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So tell me about what gets you up in the morning. I mean, there's always something, and maybe it's different all the time. And does it need to be different all the time because our minds are constantly going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question too. One thing I do is get up in the morning. I can't lay in bed. If I wake up, yeah, it's usually 5 o'clock, something like that. I gotta put my feet on the floor right away. I enjoy my morning devotion with the Lord. So that's the first thing I do. Get a cup of coffee, spend 30, 45 minutes trying to get my head straight for the day. I don't know, I enjoy what I do. I think I'm still having fun. I think that gets me up in the morning.
Good.
You know, looking forward to what I'm doing. I've always been kind of cheerful and don't take things too seriously. Gosh, what my grandma used to say, you have to have a healthy dose of I don't give a shit.
And I like your grandma.
Right. Yeah.
She's a wise woman. What keeps you on track? Because as a business owner, I'm sure you constantly have ideas and different things that you think about that you might want to do differently or try something new. What keeps you on track?
Well, first off, I think you have to realize mostly that the things that are worth having in life are hard to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not going to take some effort, you know? So I don't mind that part. I don't mind the effort. I like the outcome at the end. I'm very task-driven. I had one of those daytimer planners, you know, that you write your task on. I mean, I've got 20 years. You stopped using it about 5 years ago, and now I use my phone. I put tasks in there on a day, and it's much better, but I'm task-driven. I mean, I make lists every single day. I make a lot of lists. I always have. And if I don't finish that, I just move it to the next day, you know, because if I do, I mark through it and complete it. But there's a lot of stuff to do, right?
I know.
Time's a wasting.
I know. That's the problem sometimes with an entrepreneur. We have all these ideas and these things that we want to put on our lists. And that's great advice, is to just make a bunch of lists and, you know, keep up on those lists.
Yeah. That's another lesson I think I learned in the Marine Corps. Like, attitude is 75% of the battle, and the rest of it's organization.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know where your stuff is and how to get to it, and you can repeat it and figure it, I mean, that's half the battle.
I agree.
For me, I have to be organized. You know, I can't have disarray. I don't function well in that, you know. So that's part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so having a healthy, having healthy surroundings. Mm-hmm. Surrounding yourself with people who are organized as well.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's cleanies and messies, and I'm definitely not. I'm a cleanie.
Well, I am a messy, but I like to be organized.
Okay.
Like,
organized.
Don't look at my car because there's a bunch of, like, snack bags in the back. But as far as organized, I just, task at hand has to be organized and ready.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of both. So what's next for you?
Well, my mother has Alzheimer's, and she lives alone. She's widowed in Georgia.
Wow, that's far.
Lives on a lake in Jackson, Georgia, yeah. And it's just me and my brother. So we split the duties. I go to Georgia every 6 weeks. I go for a week, and I leave 2 weeks. Just came back about 2 weeks ago. Building a guest house for her. We went and toured some assisted living facilities. That keeps me busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a lot of travel.
I got
platinum medallion status this year just from going to Georgia.
Wow. It's a lot of travel.
Every month. Almost every month. And we're in a great season of our life. We've got 7 grandkids, 3 dogs. You know, everybody thinks about an exit at some point. I'd like to be able to do something different, I think. 57 years old, so... You know, I'd like to, by the time I'm 60, I'd like to be moving in a different direction. I'd like to race cars for a few years, probably something like that.
Wow, race cars. Tell me more about that.
You found my passion, really, there. yeah, so the one-off series called Ferrari Challenge.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. And I raced the whole season 2 years ago. Took this one off because broke some ribs and...
Just breathing, or is it more of the story?
No.
Come on.
Crashed a little challenge car.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's serious.
Yeah. So, but that's in my future again. I think, you know, if I can find some time to retire, I think I'd like to put some back-to-back seasons together doing that. It's a ton of fun.
Wow. So where do you go to race a Ferrari? I mean, it's not like you can jump on the freeway and race your buddy, right?
Right. No, it's a race car, too. It's not a street car, so they're not. But it's a really well-organized one-off racing series that is supported by teams that completely support. I mean, it's gentleman racing. You show up and race. The car is transported there. You know, you got a pit crew, change your tires, even your underwear is laundered, and your helmet's cleaned, and I mean, nobody does hospitality like Ferrari, but all the normal places. There's Ferrari Challenge North America. There's also Europe, Asia, Japan, like 5 different series, but they all have, I think, a half a dozen races in their respective countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, this year Ferrari Challenge went to Watkins Glen and in Indianapolis and Daytona, Laguna Seca, Sonoma Raceway,
wow.
Circuit of the Americas, normal places.
Yeah, what is normal to you is extraordinary to most people, especially me.
Well, it's really a ton of fun. I pretty much worked to support my hunting habit most of my life and didn't even buy a hunting license last year. I mean, that's how much when you race cars, all your other hobbies kind of go away.
Yeah.
So
sounds like it's the ultimate passion.
For me, I enjoy it a ton. Yeah, a lot of fun there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when was your last race? Was it when you broke your ribs?
No, I was testing in India. That was my last race was last year. I've done some testing since then. I was in India at, on the infield there for a month ago in a challenge car. So,
mm-hmm. And where is that located?
Indianapolis, India. It's Indy 500. Same place the Indy 500 run,
right.
But they use some of the oval and a lot of the infield as well.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Right. So are these televised or just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. CBS Sports usually picks them up. Yeah.
Wow. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
Sounds fast.
Yeah. Good people. Good people. Good fun.
Yeah. So, how exciting.
Anyway.
So when you get back, you'll have to tell us all about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be very exciting.
Yeah, I should probably write it down. I should keep a journal, you know, some of the stuff that
you
do.
You could keep a video journal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily write it down, but,
right.
You know, when you're doing a warm-up on the track, maybe just do a little selfie video.
Sure.
Warming up.
Sure.
I don't know.
The world's worst at that, too. Don't take pictures very well. Never break out the phone. I'm just not good at that. But yeah.
That's okay.
You're right.
Well, maybe you just hire somebody to do it for you.
Yeah, right? That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Maybe you have like a roadie or a groupie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something.
Yeah. My mom told me that. She said, you should put all this down. You know?
Yeah. But it sounds exciting. It's a whole other part of you I never ever would have guessed.
Yeah.
So did you have a favorite car?
Do I have a favorite car?
Okay, do you have a favorite car this week?
Well, I don't have that many cars. And I don't have the place to keep them, and I don't know that I ever would. But the Ferrari, the F8 Tributo is a great car, but this little GT4 RS, it's a Porsche. Gosh, just that's my favorite car. And for the car people out there listening, they're giving thumbs up. They know what I'm talking about right now. So that's the one that feels most like my race car. And
sounds like it too, and I enjoy driving that one. So,
wow. So getting back to entrepreneurship that led you to be able to do all these fun things, what would you, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who just needs to stay on the path to success? What was your, just give me some kind of guidance.
Always pursue a dream. Have goals. State them and work towards them, you know, even if it's something small.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, most people have more than one goal. You're working on a number of things at a time, but I would say, you know, have goals. Definitely set goals for yourself and conquer them. And when you get done with them, get another one. So,
going back to the list, right?
Yeah, yeah. Make a list.
Yeah.
Check it off once you're done.
So, tell me something good.
I would say listen to your clients. If you're an entrepreneur, I mean, listen to your clients. They'll often tell you what they need. One of the companies I started was just from that conversation I was having with clients, and we were working, and they said, "Gosh, Paul, if we had a company that did, you know, A, B, and C, we could really use it." After about five or six times of telling me that, I started that company, and I had no history of doing that. It was not my field of expertise, but yeah, listen to your clients. They'll tell you what they need, and so that's Icon.
Do you have a favorite book that made a lasting impression on your success?
Well, I think I've given away a lot of the book called The Go-Giver. A little simple read. I think you can read it in one day. A little red book called The Go-Giver. That one has been a good one for me. The Bible, really, honestly, where you get wisdom. I'm currently reading a book by Dallas Willard called Renovation of the Heart. Got about, like most people, probably five or six books I'm trying to read all at the same time.
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, I'm a really good listener of audiobooks.
Yeah.
Oh, love audiobooks. I'm a very slow reader, so it's easier for me to listen to a book. Although sometimes my brain starts wandering and then I have to back
up. Gotcha. Yeah, I learned a lot from some audiobooks when I was traveling. What, Dave Ramsey and some of the other ones. Boy, they're really, really good stuff. Yeah.
Sure.
I would say also to young entrepreneurs, if you're thinking about doing something, you know, you can always think of a million reasons why not to do something. I always would say, gosh, I don't have a degree. I can't start a company. I can't be, you know, CEO. I don't understand, you know, financial statements to the nth degree, you know, and I still don't. I know that this bag here has to be four times the size of this bag. You got to, you know, make a lot more than you spend. And I mean, simple stuff like that. So
right.
just do it.
And when you don't know how to do something, you could either teach yourself or find somebody to teach you.
Find somebody who can do it, yeah.
Or, more efficiently, find somebody who will do that job. Well, it has been a great pleasure.
Likewise.
Having you on.
Yeah.
We've got to do it again.
Be in here. You bet.
I can't wait to hear about your race car driving.
Oh, boy. We could do a whole show on that.
Huh? Well, let's do it.
Gosh, the people you meet, too. Well, that's the story. Some incredible characters in there.
When you're talking about Ferrari, that's a whole nother world of, you know, I can't even imagine.
Good people. So much fun.
Sounds like fun. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Been a pleasure.
Yeah.